irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on May 2nd.
That's right.
Thursday, May 2nd, 2019. It's pretty, what is it? It's unusual out here today.
A little overcast.
Yeah, a little overcast. It has been for a few days.
But I tell you, it was it's a beautiful, now this is an interesting thing. Leaving Malibu today, was 20 degrees colder.
Did you hear that? Malibu is where he lives.
I always try to slip that in whenever I can, just so people know that I can't afford to pay rent. It's an excellent thing for people to find out on the radio. Michael, as you said, welcome to the May 2nd edition of State of the Arts. We have with us two of the stars of Singing in the Rain, presented by La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts, and McCoy Rigby Entertainment, on stage now through May 12th.
That's right, Andrew. And if that wasn't enough, we also have an extraordinary vocalist, one of the Walter Fox singers, with a Verdi chorus to tell us about Love is Timeless.
That's right. That's right. Love is Timeless is an evening of best-loved arias, duets, ensembles, and songs from opera and musical theater, performing this Saturday, May 4th, at Santa Monica's First United Methodist Church. We'll talk more with our guest in just a moment, but before we do, Michael, let's go ahead and thank our sponsors.
Yes, absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to thank Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2019. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offer vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month from September to August. One lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. Make sure to enter every month for your chance to win, and you do that by coming to latalkradio.com. You go to Channel 2, you punch up State of the Arts, and you will see our archival page, which has a beautiful logo for Princess. You click on that, and you're in the registration process. So you do that as many times as you like. And, Andrew, it's a $5,000 gift from Princess.
Now I'm eligible, correct?
No, you are not.
Ooh, okay. I just got a lot less excited about that. It sounded really good at first. But no, what a great prize. And Princess, obviously, they care so much about the live and performing arts.
They do.
If you don't win this cruise, check them out because they've got a lot of really great things going on over there. And they certainly bring some wonderful entertainment to people all over the world. And as always, we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts. Obviously, Michael, a lot of good things going on.
Yes, indeed. But tell me, what was your week like? We haven't seen each other.
It's been, you know, I've been all over the place. I just finished up a film. I was out of town for a while.
Once
shooting.
You finished
on
up
that.
A film. What does that mean?
Sometimes we sleep. I just wrapped principal shooting on it and then got back. And
as an actor or
I
as
was
a stuntman,
fight choreographer and director on this one, which was a little bit crazy. Yeah. So I was in editing rooms, which is strange because when you're on a live set, you feel good because you're out and you get sunshine, and then you go into the editing room and you forget what month it is. Like you can be in there for hours on end, and I did not realize I've got a whole new respect for editors now. It's certainly a difficult profession, but one of the things that I loved best about this was that I had such a good time getting to work with people in the film industry that I don't usually get to work with. As a fight choreographer and actor, I come in, I do my job, and I leave. This one, I was talking to grips for hours on end about what they do and about kind of some of the stuff that they were, you know, the little nuances that you don't see when you're just there for setup. So we would be there early in the morning, and we'd be adjusting to golden hour, we'd be adjusting to the sun as it was changing over the mountains. Really cool stuff. And the thing that I love about this is how collaborative film is. I'd forgotten that, because theater we know is a collaborative medium, but film, it is too. And I think as, you know, as actors and as writers and that sort of thing, we forget sometimes how many people are involved in telling a great story. So that was very refreshing and renewed my love for film.
Well, the most important thing, though, you wore multiple hats, right?
I did.
So that means you are paid three or four times as much money?
Nope. I get paid one paycheck. Oh. The only reason they hired me is because I offered to do three jobs at once. So that happens to be more and more what I'm doing. So it's, will you fight choreographer for this? Oh, yeah. And also you can play a part too. So it happens quite a bit these days. You can fall off the horse. We'll give you a few lines. Yeah. So that sort of stuff has happened more and more. But Michael, we have some great theater going on here in the Southland, don't we? And two shows we're talking about today. One that I know you've seen before, yeah?
I did. I saw it very recently here at the Valley Performing Arts Center, which is known as the Sorayan. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous theater, one of really in the crown jewels of theaters in Los Angeles, probably one of the best sound-wise of any of our theaters. And Singing in the Rain, the classic Singing in the Rain, opened at the Soraya prior to its engagement at Macquarie Rigby's.
That's right, they've switched lodgings.
Yes, living in La Mirada Performing Arts Center.
Great space.
And I must say, I wasn't pleasantly surprised. I was amazed because of the talent which is sitting in this room today from that show, and we're going to talk to them about their experience with Singing in the Rain in just a few minutes.
That sounds great. Now tell me about the rest of your week. Did you see anything else?
I am producing LA's Next Great Stage Star.
Am I in it?
You are not. Yeah.
One of these days, ladies and gentlemen, one of these days I want to make it.
But you'll come to it, won't you?
Absolutely. I mean, and not only that, but with the addition of kind of the triple threat vibe that you've added in, of course your great sponsorship from Princess and the wonderful people there who are so dedicated, all the great people who come together to make this work. I tell you, I think that's just one of the best events in Los Angeles.
Well, thank you.
I love attending each year.
We are getting ready to open on May 26th.
How many years is this now?
13.
Wow.
Yes,
wow.
And May 26th, then we close on June 30th. It's once a week. It's a Sunday matinee series at 1 p.m., except on Tony Award Sunday. That's a 12 p.m. performance at the famous historic El Portal Theater.
Great theater.
Yeah, we love that theater in the Debbie Reynolds main stage, which is another great space here. And we're very excited. We just got through putting through 13. Ironically, 13 contestants.
Wow,
13, it wasn't intentional. That's just how many we accepted.
Yeah.
So I am thrilled to get this going and get these kids. It's kind of a launching pad, as you know, to professional careers in musical theater. And 23 of our kids who have passed through this competition since we started it back in 2006 have already made their Broadway debuts.
Amazing.
And some of them are on their third and fourth Broadway shows.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
And every time I see one of your kids, and I mean, these and kids, they're now all adults and doing great, great things. But I tell you, you think back to that beginning on LA's Next Great Stage Star. And at there, now you have monologues as well as dancing.
Yes,
as well
it's
singing,
acting,
correct?
Singing, dancing.
So truly, if you can do this show and succeed in this competition, you can be on Broadway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really
well. I mean, we hope that
it's amazingly true. I tell you, the amount of talent that you have in that room and the amount of work that they get afterwards is truly compelling.
Well, the nice thing is that 50% of the overall 238 contestants who have gone through the competition are actually now enjoying a career in musical theater.
Wow.
Be it off-Broadway or in U.S. national tours or in international theme parks, any of those kinds of venues that are available to them, but they have given up their day jobs.
Amazing.
And they are working and doing what they love.
So that is so definitely something we can give a little applause to.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, I think we should jump in here because speaking of talented, committed, and amazing talents here, we have three of them in the studio with us today, and our first guest is a dear friend of the show. He's an accomplished singer, dancer, and actor currently appearing as Hans in Frozen Live at the Hyperion at Disney. Regional theater credits include Fifth Avenue Theater's Rami and Michelle's High School Reunion, the musical Old Globe, and Hartford Stage's Kiss Me, Kate. Also, Charlie Brown in San Francisco Symphony's Charlie Brown Christmas.
Some LA regional credits include Mamma Mia and A Chorus Line at the Hollywood Bowl, As the World Goes Round with Reprises 2.0, that is the second revival of that series, 42nd Street with CD Theatricals, LA Opera's Wonderful Town, and Salome. Yes. I had to get that out slowly.
It was perfect.
And 1776 for McCoy Rigby Entertainment.
That's right. Other L.A. credits include La Mirada Theater's Carrie, Empire, and West Side Story, Music Theater West's Elf, Oklahoma, and Big Fish, and Candlelight Pavilion's Footloose. He has also appeared in the first national tour of Bright Star. I think they named that after you, didn't they?
Yeah. Just one, one more letter than they would have.
That's right. Yeah, correct. They wouldn't pay for the extra R. Yeah, so just started filming the first season of Disney's new TV show, Encore.
He's here today to tell us more about his current role as Don Lockwood in the McCoy Rigby Entertainment production of Singin' in the Rain at the La Mirada Theater in La Mirada, California. Please welcome Michael Starr.
That's right, that's right.
They love you, Michael.
No doubt about it. Now you got to tell me, you've got the perfect name to be in theater, Michael Starr. You did not change that name,
did
you?
I didn't.
God-given gift, a parent-given gift. Is that correct?
It was. Both my parents are scientists, actually, which is funny because they're creating something where there was nothing.
Neither astronomers, though.
No.
That'd be perfect.
They're biomedical engineers. So I am the one and only artistic outlet in the family.
Right.
Yeah.
How in the world did that happen? What influenced you?
I don't know. It was a small town, and I had way too much energy and just got thrown into an arts program right away.
Like, the kid looked at his last name and said, I've got to choose a name. I've got to choose a career that goes with my name, and he jumped into theater. That's the way to do it.
So far, it's worked out.
Well, now you got to tell me a little bit about how you got started in the arts, because your career obviously is on a huge uptick. You got a bunch of great stuff going on, and 42nd Street is obviously something that I think you're perfect for. And Singin' in the Rain seems like a nice transition into major adult roles, leading roles that are really crucial. How did you first get started in the arts?
Well, first off, it was sort of kind of like what I was saying. It was just a small town in Northern California. That's where I grew up, in Sonoma. And had way too much energy to be kept in the house all through summer, so my parents kind of kicked me out into an arts camp that was down the street at our local theater. And that's where I got my first pair of tap shoes, Mary Jane tap shoes, patent leather. I was in a group of all girls tap dancing to Dixie Chicks.
Love it.
Somehow continued on through that.
But what was the first job where you realized, hey, this is something I could actually make a living doing?
Oh, gosh. I think what is interesting is that I probably didn't really seriously consider pursuing this as a career until high school, about halfway through high school, because I was kind of going the pre-med track,
wow,
which Kim and I can actually talk about that quite in detail. She shares a similar history. But it was sort of that realization that, oh, do I really want to be a doctor, or do I want to just play one on TV at one point? And after kind of making that discovery and finding out that I truly loved being on stage and performing in all sort of aspects, that's kind of when I dove into it in high school, and doing shows like Singing in the Rain, which I actually did in high school, sort of kickstarted that dream and kept me continuing on in that direction.
And now you're doing it with one of the best companies here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Pretty nice transition. I love that. That's
very
fantastic.
Lucky.
Well, and one of the most classic of Broadway musicals as well. Mm. And our friend who's been on this program, Patricia Ward Kelly, mm-hmm, was at the opening, at the Northridge opening.
And La Mirada opening, too.
And La Mirada,
she came
too.
Back. That's
fantastic.
A good
fantastic. Yeah. And she is, of course, Mrs. Jean Kelly, and met Jean during a, I forget the story exactly. They were working together, and he was choreographing whatever that was, and that's how they met. And she has kept this man's legacy alive. She works very hard at doing it. She has an incredible show that is about him that she takes around the country and has an evening with about Jean. So did you have time to spend with her? Did she...
Very briefly. We saw her at the opening... events and parties, and she was so appreciative and very loving, and gave us her card that's got Jean's signature on
right.
it, which
oh, wow,
is,
that's great.
Which
right.
is very special.
Very cool.
And overall, just seemed really proud and happy that that legacy was being continued on, and especially that we didn't change so much as to take away from the legacy that he created. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, and she is a dancer, too, so mm-hmm. she would be very sensitive to all of that just because she is a dancer, and that's when they met and how they met. But a score that is a classic score with all of these amazing songs. But your big moment in the show has certainly got to be singing In the Rain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, they do an incredible job with the real rainstorm on stage that was no easy task getting set, and now, right. now that it is, it's incredible.
And traveling it, too, taking it to a different theater.
It.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's definitely a dream to be up there doing that, and we get to share, everybody gets to share a little bit in it at the very end of the show as well. Now, that's something that you haven't seen, actually.
I didn't.
As an addition.
I had to leave a little early.
But it's also an addition to the La Mirada production as that we changed from Northridge, that we added a little bit extra rain at the end there for everybody. So.
Very cool. Michael texted me a little message. We were going back and forth because I said that I had to leave a little early and I wasn't going to be able to see him afterwards. And you said, you brought up the scene in the rain, that every time that he does it, it's like the real highlight for you in that show. Why wouldn't it be?
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, it's an iconic American image as well, and certainly Gene Kelly portrayed that as well as anybody ever could. But it's got to be interesting, too, to get to do that night after night and bring something fresh to it. And certainly on the stage, I think so many people are familiar with the movie, and yet seeing it on stage is every bit as amazing. You're right, the special effects are wonderful, and the performances are so palpable. Mm-hmm. They're right there in front of you, and you can feel so much more about this amazing love story as well.
Absolutely, and what's wild is that you'll read up the history about the creation of the movie, and you'll watch these documentaries, and they rehearse these numbers for weeks and weeks and months and then film them.
Right.
And there's something so remarkable about seeing all of them done for you once in a row that I know brings us an immense amount of pride as well as stress, but getting to do them all in sequence live is something that's really special that we get to share every night. So.
Very cool.
What other shows come to mind in your career that you might put on the par of this show? Because this has got to be sitting pretty high in your
Chorus Line. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think the Chorus Line of the Bowl was pretty huge. And that's actually a great transition because that's where I met Brandon Burks, who plays our Cosmo.
Oh, very cool.
We did the show together, as well as our director, Spencer Liff. He was
Yes,
the show.
I was going to say that.
So that was very much the start for what brought us here today.
I think I was there at that day of rehearsal, that media day. I did a day with, Broadway World TV, and interviewed Spencer, who's a very nice young man, and what a talented young man.
Yeah.
So You Think You Can Dance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, his skill set is beyond what he has us doing in this show. It's kind of ridiculous and amazing at the same time, and he's got such a great vision and changed so many things that needed changing or could change, but then also we have the classics like the rain and the couch and the everything that you want to see.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, but the choreography, you're saying the choreography has changed or been adapted
Been adapted in many different places, but also we have many moments in the show that we know that you're going to want to see some tight three-part tap dancing in Good Morning. And so we've kept a lot of those things from the movie.
Right.
But stuff like the ballet, for instance, in Act Two, which actually doesn't usually come as part of the package of the show, we dug up and found lots of great musical moments, and he has reimagined this whole sequence with a elongated bar sequence, and we've got the Sid Charisse moment and everything, and it's a lot of fun, and he's done a great job with it.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Ladies and gentlemen, his name is Michael Starr, and he is starring in Singing in the Rain, currently on stage at La Mirada Theater. Tell me a little bit about moving it from here in the Valley and out to La Mirada. What are the differences and challenges when you move a show like that?
Well, the Soraya is gorgeous, as we were talking about earlier, and moving from that large of a space, starting the show there first was really special because we got to take in such a massive audience and such a larger-than-life space for that show.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something special about bringing it to La Mirada where the audience is much more in your lap.
Different kind of show.
Different kind of show. but it's much more intimate space, and they're kind of just waiting on every joke, and something with a show like this is that because it's so well known and because everyone has their memories of seeing the movie, they know that the jokes are coming, and they also are just as excited to hear them again and laugh
That's
at them
funny.
Again.
Sure.
And it's you'd expect it to be much more of a oh yeah, well I saw that coming, but no, they folks are loving it, especially the matinee crowds, which are delight.
Yeah, of course, the matinee crowd. That's where you're really going to get them.
Mm-hmm. Now you run through May 12th, correct?
We do.
That's great. So a nice long run, obviously, for this one. If you didn't get to see it here in town, La Mirada is a beautiful space and a great chance to go out there and visit one of the best venues here
in
Los Angeles.
It is indeed. And performances are on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 7:30 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m., Saturdays at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m. And there will be an open captioned performance this coming Saturday, May 4th at 2 p.m. and an ASL interpreted performance on Saturday, May 11th at 2 p.m. and talkbacks with the cast, including Michael and Kimberly.
Mm-hmm.
And the creative team will be on Wednesday. That's already happened.
You've got one coming up on Wednesday, May 8th.
There you go.
You did it on April 24th, and now you're doing it again. It was so popular.
Right. It was a hit.
All right. That's a great chance to take kids out and see this show, too, because the talkback, I always find, is one of the ways that kids get to kind of say, hey, listen, I want to ask this question, and you never know what's going on in their heads. I love that idea kind of how we introduce the next generation to theater. I think also if you want to get tickets, the best thing to do is just go to La Mirada Theater. That's LAMIRADA Theater with an RE.com, or you can always call as well.
You can, and tickets range from $20 on up, and student tickets are discounted for the first 15 performances of the production. And the telephone number to call, as Andrew just said, you can do this, it's of the theater box office, 562-944-9801 or 714-994-6310.
Mm-hmm.
Or buy online, as he said, at LaMiradaTheater.com.
Parking is free and tickets as low as $20. There's no reason not to go see this show, correct?
Two keywords. Parking is free. Yeah, three keywords.
Unheard of these days. Yeah. Free parking. That's right. That's a great, great thing. Well, obviously, we have somebody else who's got a pretty deep interest in this show as well here with us today. We should go ahead and bring her in. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, received her BFA from NYU and was most recently seen playing Leela Dixon in Marriott Theater's production of Holiday Inn. Some favorite credits include 42nd Street at Drury Lane Theater, Heartbreak House at Theater Row, Pacific Overtures with Classic Stage Company, and The Fantastics at the Jerry Orbach Theater, Evita with the Kansas City Rep, and Waterfall at Pasadena Playhouse and the Fifth Avenue Theater.
She's here with us today to tell us all about her current role as Kathy Seldon in Singin' in the Rain. Please give a warm welcome to Kimberly Emanuel.
Their taste, it's unbelievable. Hey, what a fun thing to get to learn about you a little bit last night. You've obviously had a ton of training and been all over the country.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how you grew up and what path brought you here to Southern California in this production.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on Long Island, and funny enough, my parents are both doctors.
We got a couple smart families here for Singin' in the Rain cast.
Yep, also the only artistic person in my family.
Nice, very nice.
But I have an older sister, and she was put into dance at a young age because she was very clumsy.
Wow.
And she kept falling everywhere. She had bruises all over the place. And as soon as I saw one dance recital of hers, I was like, I have to do that.
Wow.
So I was 2.5 years old when I got my first pair of tap shoes.
Wow.
And got right into dance class.
You know why they did that, don't you?
What?
Just so they could keep track of you. Keeping track of a 2-year-old running around the house so much easier in tap shoes.
Right.
I know where she is, honey. I got her.
Right. We'll send her with her sister. That's awesome.
That changes when they turn 13 or 14. You're like, go. I can't handle it anymore. That's
totally
great.
Yeah.
And when did
you
move out here to Southern California?
Well, you know, funny enough, I don't live here. They brought me out
for
this production.
You're an import.
I am. I went to NYU, and I stuck around.
Fantastic.
My whole family's in New York. I live in Manhattan now. And I had a friend submitting for the show, and I helped her record a self-tape. And she was like, you've been in for this role before. You should send one in.
Cool.
And I was like, you know what? You know, why not?
Yeah.
And so I sent it in, not thinking anyone would take a look at it. And here we are.
Wow, amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. So you have some big shoes to fill as well.
Big tap shoes.
Michael has Gene Kelly's, and you have Miss Debbie Reynolds.
That's right.
How did you What was your approach to creating this role? Because you did a beautiful job.
Oh,
you're stunning on the stage. You really are, and you're so talented. But you're a different kind of woman. So what was your thought process?
You know, every time I take on a role that seems to be like classic or that people have a certain preconception of, I try to look at what they've done, which is like Debbie brought this beautiful youth and exuberance and energy to the role when she was so young. But then I kind of like take that and I like leave it as homework and forget about it for a moment. And then I look at the script and I say, okay, who is this person on the page? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I look at what they say, and she is a fiery, fierce individual with, you know, so much talent. She's like such a positive person. She's always trying to make people feel better. And I just kind of look at it as the character rather than as Debbie Reynolds playing Kathy Seldon. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So yeah, I just tried to use the text as much as possible to create my own version of what I think she is and infuse what I find funny or interesting about the character or the lines that she's saying. And yeah, just bring myself to it as much as possible.
Yeah, and are you and you feel good about that? You're happy with?
Yeah, I really am. I have a ton of fun on stage.
How could you not?
Mike and Brandon, who plays Cosmo, are both so fun to play around with on stage. And yeah, who cannot smile doing those tap numbers?
Boy, that's
and
right.
Doing those classic scenes, and the music is just so beautiful. Hearing it, like Mike said, like even just hearing the music live. Like brings you to tears. I mean, it's just the orchestra we have is phenomenal.
How many pieces?
It is, I believe, 13 or 14.
Oh, I was going to say 16.
Oh, really?
I thought so.
He sings three more songs.
I don't know.
We're confused.
More than eight.
It's definitely more than eight, and they're all phenomenal.
Wow. Obviously, this is an iconic show. I mean, this is something that, I mean, you see the lamppost, you can't help but jump up on a lamppost. I mean, I see that frequently. I will see people doing that. But it's also the couch. I remember the first time I showed my 8-year-old this, Caleb, and he watched the couch. He was trying that on chairs. Man, I'm surprised we didn't have broken arms, you know, for the next month. But it is, it's an innovative show, and I think it was something that, you know, hit it right the right time in America, and it became something that everybody can associate with, which I think is very, very cool.
Well, I think it's one of those shows that is so classic. Are on the same level as something like Sound of Music, you know, and they always say in theater, if there's any sort of spiral down in the box office at any point in a season, to bring back your season and your financial books, you do the Sound of Music or Singing in the Rain. Mm-hmm. You do these big title shows like that make people, you know, feel good, even if they're not familiar with the show. But certainly those who have some allegiance to it. I mean, I've seen the show 3 or 4 times, and when I saw you in it, the two of you in it, it was like seeing it for the first time all over again. Yeah.
So, Kimberly, obviously you have an amazing career and a lot of things good ahead. Has Southern California captured your interest? Will you come back and see us again for another show at some
definitely.
Point?
Oh, definitely. I mean, as soon as I did a beautiful show called Waterfall at the Pasadena Playhouse in 2015.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
And I got just a little baby taste of how beautiful the LA theater community is.
Yeah.
But that show was with a lot of New York locals. Hmm. And this time, really getting infused into the LA actors that are out here was such a special experience. And everyone, I mean, I keep saying it, but I've done regional shows all over the country, and there's something in the water here because everyone is so sweet. They were like so
it's
welcoming,
radiation.
So joyous, so warm. Radiation, the pollution. But no, it has been just lovely, and I would love to work here again. The weather is amazing. It's way better than in New York right now. So
I've had New Yorkers come out and say, no, I can't handle all this sunshine. It's rotting my brain out. Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm very thoroughly enjoying it.
I have people who say, you know, it's weird. When I wear my turtleneck and my trench coat, everybody looks at me strange because I'm sweating, you know, out here in L.A. It's funny. I've watched a lot of people who've, you know, done what you do, which is travel so much for these shows, and I think it's remarkable because that is such a challenging life to live. You have to go where the work is, and yet at the same time you get some wonderful opportunities to travel and to do great things. You're working with one of the best companies out there. McCoy Rigby obviously does a great job. So where can people find out more about you on social media?
Oh, they can find me at Kimmy K-I-M-M-Y, Emmanuel, I-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, on Instagram. And I have a website that's KimberlyEmmanuel.com.
Fantastic. Mr. Star, where can people find out more about you?
I've got a website, MJStarRR, at... that's .com.
Sounds like a dude ranch.
Double
I
R.
Know. Yeah.
The double R ranch.
Or my Instagram tag and Twitter would be at MJStar77.
And obviously we'll put a picture up of all three
of
these amazing people. So.
I wish I was better at tweeting. I am just not that great. I just feel like my day-to-day is not that exciting.
I kind of feel the same way. Actually, I took myself off of it last night.
Wow.
I did. I thought, it's too much. I
shut the
door. You know, we all have so much going on in our lives to be worried about one more thing.
I know.
To follow, the whole deal is following people and responding. It's too much. I cannot do it anymore. Well, I might, but
people hire people.
Yeah, that's true. I stay off of Facebook.
People who have people,
days,
yeah.
But I will say, when we saw we're having Mike back on again, the first thing I did was jump on his Facebook page and see what was going on and that sort of thing. So I do like it for keeping track of people because we move so much, we travel around so much. I have friends from high school who I won't talk to for 3 or 4 years, but then they'll contact me on Facebook, which I love. So it's a good thing. But you're right, it does become burdensome when we feel like we have to keep up with the Joneses and got to post 10 times today. I got a letter from my agent the other day saying you got to be sure you're posting more. You know, that's a difficult
thing. Did you really?
Yeah, it happens frequently, actually.
So. You know, they have departments in agencies now that are dedicated to tracking that.
Yeah.
Gosh. All of their clients.
True.
That's something that has to do with them signing.
Yeah. And the number of your followers, too, which I think is interesting because, I think, your personal life is your personal life and your public life is your public life. But Facebook really blurs that quite a bit, even if you have professional and personal pages. So something we need to talk about more, I think, in society and what that means.
Exactly.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a break from some of the craziness going on out there in the real world, and if you're wanting to get off social media, go check out Singing in the Rain at La Mirada Theater. Again, it runs all the way up until May 12th. So a good long time to go see this
with
show.
Numerous performances, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Check it out. And the La Mirada Theater is a lovely theater that's in La Mirada, California, south here of Los Angeles. And tickets range, there's a ticket start from $20 and go on up, $15 student tickets for the first 15 performances of the production. And for tickets, 562-944-9801. Or 714-994-6310 or buy online, LaMiradaTheater.com.
That's right. Michael, I am so excited about our next guest. I say we jump past our live arts calendar on page 7.
Yes, I
straight
agree.
To page 8 and
I
introduce
agree.
This gentleman. I had a great time learning about him and renewed my love of opera. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is a bass baritone opera singer who earned his master's in vocal performance from the Manhattan School of Music and will be singing at the Hubble Cantina.
Cantata.
My wife told me how to say that word, and I still blew it. I tell you that. opera always challenges me whenever I have a good intro. The Hubble Cantata, and as a member of the L.A. Opera Chorus, he was a contestant on The Voice, which was amazing. You can check that out online. And also had a singing television appearances on The Gong Show. Let's Make a Deal and Access Hollywood. Currently working on his original operatic music, he is also a soloist and a section leader at the First Congressional Church of Los Angeles.
He played the title role in La Nozze di Figaro.
La Nozze di Figaro.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
It's multiple band.
Difficult name. Opera.
We get opera bios, and I just immediately send my lips in because I know it's just not going to work for me. Say it again one more time for us.
La Nozze di Figaro.
Beautiful.
Celestial Opera Company and Independent Opera Company. He played the villains in Offenbach's Tales of Hoffman with Repertory Opera Company. Ramphus.
Correct.
In Verdi's Aida. With Marina Del Rey Opera and sings with Ventura County Gilbert and Sullivan Repertoire Company. He's here today with us to tell us about his appearance with the Walter Fox Singers in the Verdi Chorus presentation of Love is Timeless this Saturday, May 4th. Please welcome Raed.
Perfect.
Sade.
There we go. Rade.
Sorry, I'm giving you guys such difficult language.
That's okay.
Oh, are you kidding? Hey, Gianni's loving
you.
Be careful. They start throwing garments at some point.
Oh, really?
So be aware.
No, okay.
Hey, so this is obviously, and of course, I Googled your name and a bunch of fun stuff popped up, but you're very prolific, not only in your vocal talents, but also in the church work that you do with your singing group there. And you and I have a good friend in common, Rebecca Pillsbury at Ventura County Rep.
Of course.
I've done a lot of their Gilbert and Sullivan Rep there. I've done their fight choreography
years
and years. And, oh, yes. In fact, Pirates, I've done with them 4 times. And
we should do a show together.
Definitely, although you got to find fighting shows because you ain't going to get me in any opera shows. I can guarantee that. One of the things I love about them is what I first found was how much great music, both true traditional opera and light opera, is out there that I had just completely been unaware of. Tell me some of your favorite roles and what you like to perform.
Well, I love performing Rossini. Mm-hmm. He's a composer that writes a lot of runs and what we call in the opera world coloratura. And that's what I love the most. Rossini, especially Italiana and Algeri. I love shocking people with the fact that I have a very low, deep voice,
you
as you can
absolutely
hear right now.
Yeah, that's right.
But
ladies and gentlemen, Barry White.
Hello. And then do the fast runs, which is rare for, you know, usually lighter voices do that.
Right.
So,
well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I really love doing that, and that's how I was able to continue on and go into Manhattan School of Music. Those are the kind of roles that I really love. And some of the Baroque music has a lot of trills and runs and just, you know, any fireworks with the voice, I love. And that's what I like to do with opera, and those are the roles that I like to play usually.
Fantastic. It's hard because the tenors get a lot of that attention, don't they?
Let's not start with
tenors. I know.
We have one right here, don't we?
You could tell. I won't ask if it was by vocal tone or personality, because I tell you, I've worked with a lot of tenors over the year who embrace that idea of, you know, look, this is my song, this is my show.
Yeah.
But as a bass, you get some really cool roles that nobody else can do. And obviously you can sing baritone too, and I've got a feeling you could probably sing tenor even if you had to. You've got an amazing range. But what's the role that you love to do more than any other role?
The role. I must admit, because in the opera world, and even in the popular world, basses don't get to be the stars,
that's
usually.
Right.
And that's hard for a person like me. I want to always be them. So, I mean, not only that, I mean, the fact that I can have such a large role and enjoy it is, I would definitely say Le Nozze di Figaro, because he's the title character, he's a bass, and that's rare. And to enjoy and be part of the whole story from beginning to end, rather than just the father or the king, which was lovely. I really enjoy being part of the whole story and being a main part of the story, of
that
course. So I would say Figaro has probably been one of my favorite roles to play. So
that's
far.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love how he can speak perfect English and then go right into the right
Italian accent. That's
right. Italian
that's
accent.
Correct.
You know, we had someone recently from another opera company that came in, and we talked about Barahunks, which is quite a trend, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
In opera. That, yes. When did that happen? And why did that happen?
I can remember, I think, when that really started to happen is when Dmitri Vorostovsky took off his shirt on stage.
Wow.
And
go.
The sales went up.
See, I've taken off
serious?
My shirt a number of times. Sales never went up. People storming out. I had money thrown at me to put it back on.
I know. So, so then it became this thing, these men with low voices who have abs.
Right.
I won't be on that website, but I'm working towards it. Let's hope. Let's
I always
see.
Say everybody's got abs. Sometimes we just cover them up a little
correct.
Bit so as not
yeah,
to be
seen.
That's
yeah,
right.
I have really great abs under this. Yeah.
That's an interesting thing. I think that obviously opera's become more accessible to people now. Certainly with the internet, everybody's able to go online and watch some of these great performances that before it was kind of hard to go seek. To find a great company, you need to be in a major city for a long time. And that's not true anymore. Operas are touring all over the world now and coming to small towns very often, aren't they?
Yes, 100%. I always say this. People really question whether is opera going to die one day because, you know, it's such a niche art form and we always want to find, you know, investors and all that stuff. But for me, it's an art form that will never die just because of the type of vocal talent and the vocal skill. To me, it's like the Olympics of voice. I mean, it is art form that uses no microphone, and you have to sing to 4,000 people without a microphone. And back then, they didn't have electricity, and that's how it started in Florence in the 1600s. I'm not going to go into the history of all this, but so that's what I feel like. It's an art form of who is the loudest and the most beautiful in the world will get the job, and I feel like that will never die out.
Because I can be the loudest.
You can't louder than me. I challenge you.
It's the beautiful part that I tend to slip up on a little bit. Love is Timeless. Tell me about it.
Love is Timeless is a show, the second time we do this show. It is, we are in the Verdi Chorus, the ringers and the section leaders have a show, and we perform solos and we perform numbers without the chorus. And that show is called the Walter Fox Singers. We're called the Walter Fox Singers. And we have a show coming up, as you said, this Saturday at 7:30. And we sing, the first half is opera, and then the second half is musical theater. But of course, we keep it to the classical musical theater. We don't belt. We use it more of the opera technique. But we lighten it up to the second half. In the second half, I'm singing Camelot, C'est moi. I'm not sure if you've heard that before.
Sure. Tis me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. C'est moi, c'est moi. It's all about me. Beautiful. That song is really funny. And
that's Lancelot who sings that, correct?
Sorry?
Is that Lancelot who sings that?
Yes, correct. Of course. Yeah. Yes. And that's going to be a fun, uplifting one. But then the first half, I sing a very serious song, but it's about, I'm a devil. It's in the Tales of Hoffman. It's basically Shine Bright Like a Diamond in the opera world. Oh. Yeah. It's called Scintille au Diamant in French, and it means Shine Bright Like a Diamond. I am a devil who woos women to get men to do whatever they want by giving them a diamond. So basically, seduce men. So I pay women to seduce men. I don't know what that's called in America.
I'm sure there's a number of names for it. Tickets as low as $10. Is that correct?
You have just turned in red.
I turned red? I'm glad they can't see this.
That's right. That's right. Tickets as low as $10 all the way up to $40, and you can get them easily by calling 800-838-3006.
Or online at Verdi, V-E-R-D-I chorus.org.
Again, this is one night only. This is Saturday, May 4th. That's this coming Saturday at First United Methodist Church of Santa Monica.
And that's a 7:30 p.m. performance, ladies and gentlemen. So go and see our guest and this fine company. Now, and you are a very special guest in this
company,
right?
No doubt.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I would like to think that, yes.
You are, indeed.
Obviously, you've trained so extensively, and you have to do this kind of music. My sister-in-law got her master's in vocal performance and early music as well, and it certainly is a lifetime commitment. No matter how much you love musical theater, opera takes so much to continue to be involved in. Can you tell me a little bit about your early life and how you ended up on this road?
Yes. I initially, this came as a mistake. I was mimicking the three tenors singing, and I was 9 years old. And then fast forward 1 year, I was on stage singing for the prime minister of my country in Lebanon, which I'm Lebanese from Lebanon. And
that's where most Lebanese people come from, is Lebanon, I hear.
Yes. Thank you, man. It's like kind of like Manhattan School of Music. What state was that?
That's right. Same question. The state of Manhattan. That's right.
And then I just started off as a joke, and a lot of things started that way with me. And then it turned into very serious, and life led me that way. I went to Syracuse University for my undergrad, and a year into from coming from Saudi Arabia, where I was living at the time, I moved around the whole world, and they sent me to Florence to sing as an 18-year-old with a master's degree in Syracuse University, because they needed a low voice, and I was 18, and I could speak and sing like this. And that's where I was bitten by the bug, in Florence.
Is opera big in the Middle East?
It is big, actually, but it's different. We don't have as many opera houses. Dubai just built a new opera house.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and they're really doing very well now. I know Saudi Arabia is currently building an opera house, and they're trying to open it up for more, you know, more arts and culture in the community. But Lebanon, we have a lot of flying in opera. In Byblos, we have an acoustic place that was built by the Romans back then. We have the oldest city in the world, and they perform actual operas there, the companies that fly in and perform in Lebanon. You guys should all come. Come
field trip. Sounds field trip. Here we go.
Yeah, amazing.
That's amazing.
And just to go back to something we said earlier in your intro, actually, you were on The Voice, but it was not the American version. It was the Lebanese version of The Voice, right?
The Lebanese version, they do Arabic classical music and Arabic music and English music. That's because now in our culture, we really fuse. Whenever you go out, you always hear both. You always hear Arabic and then you hear Beyonce. So it's just the way, and like when you go to a club.
How was that experience for you, though?
The experience was amazing. I mean, it opened so many doors for me. I probably probably wouldn't have been able to do a lot of things that I'm doing right now without that, because it was just a, you know, a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. It was such a great experience. I was on 4 episodes, but being an opera singer in an Arabic community, they loved it, but then they couldn't, I didn't go past because the lady next to me was singing a very good classical Lebanese song that nobody would beat that. So that's how I got kicked off the show.
Well, it's interesting. I saw a lot of clips from that show as well, or from, you know, The Voice all over the world, and there are a ton of editions of The Voice in different countries, and the amount of talent across the world that shows like that have brought up, it's truly astounding.
It is.
Truly astounding. Yeah. The name of the show, again, is Love is Timeless, and you can easily get tickets. You can go ahead and call 1-800-838-3006.
Or you can go online to Verdi Chorus, verdichorus.org, and pick up tickets there.
And again, it's
$10 is the starting point for tickets. That is a bargain.
That's right.
And they go up as high as $40, which is still a bargain.
This Saturday, May 4th, 7:30. Don't miss that.
Wow.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Yes.
It's that time.
So now I'm going to get to because clearly I can tell you that. This is our long sound cue. I paid a little extra for the long sound. Right, can you tell me where people can find you on social media?
Oh, yes. I have an Instagram. It's a difficult name. It's raed.sade, which is raed.sade. SAADE. I should probably change it to like Rotted Star or something. That would be a little easier.
Don't use 2 R's. He'll charge you.
Well,
I think that's
domain.
Great. And we'll post that if we can remember to get that up. We'll put your name, the correct spelling there in the Instagram
Thank
post
you.
And that sort of thing. We want people to obviously follow all three of you because you guys have amazing careers and it's a really cool width and breadth of the entertainment industry that we have here today. Do you have for us an embarrassing moment, something that may have happened?
Well, something little embarrassing happened very recently. I'm going to tell you another story because I can't really talk about this embarrassing, but I mean, to be genuine with you, that has been my most embarrassing story. I filmed America's Got Talent. It's coming up. I'm allowed to say that, but not allowed to say what happened.
I see.
So you'll see me this season on America's Got Talent coming up this summer.
And it was your most embarrassing
something
moment?
On there happened. That was really embarrassing. I'm hoping they don't air it.
Oh,
I'm like
I hope
calling
they do
everybody.
Now.
Please don't put it in post. I beg you. But anyway, if it does, I love it. It was a big risk, and I thought that, I never play it safe. And you'll see that on the show. I never
Very
play
cool.
it safe. But
that's a good
the most embarrassing moment that I can talk about is probably the second, is when I was asked to sing, for some people because they wanted to hire me for this project in the Middle East. And I started off with Ave Maria, and then my head, I don't know what happened, just suddenly turned into Conte Partiro by Andrea Bocelli. It was literally Ave Maria Paesi.
Wow.
And I don't know what happened to my brain. These
Is
things
it a
happen
similar
to singers.
Transition or?
It's kind of, but I was really impressed with the mashup that I came up with. And then my friends never let me live that down.
How
never.
Funny.
Never. They constantly make fun of me about
Get
that.
Get it and put it on YouTube.
Today.
It'll probably make a million
Probably,
minutes.
Right?
That's
that was probably my most embarrassing
Where
moment.
Where did that happen?
That happened in the Middle East. I was actually, there was an opera documentary that they wanted to film. Thank God I still got the gig, and I filmed the opera documentary in the Middle East. But I was amongst my family and friends, which is the worst to make a mistake. The worst.
Then
and they were
let
all
you forget it.
Sitting there watching with their eyeballs. Because that's what they do with their eyeballs.
That's right. Tough to do that with your nose. That's great.
And
well, I love those moments.
Very embarrassing moment for
very
me.
Very funny. And also, we want to check you out on coming up on, you said America's Got Talent?
Correct.
And when is that going to be released? Do we know?
It airs in, I think the first episode is May 28th. But I don't think I'm on the first episode. I actually don't know which episode I'm on.
Okay.
But stay tuned. It's extremely a risk and extremely not safe. And I'm very proud of it.
Cool.
Actually. Very
I
proud
love
of it.
That.
All the more reason to take a look at it.
No
right?
doubt. No doubt.
Kimberly.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that I have a bunch of embarrassing stories.
I've blacked them all out.
I might have blacked them all out. But one in particular that applies to Singing in the Rain that happened just a few weeks ago was that Mike and Brandon were sent some B-roll footage from our show, and they were both talking about it in like a group chat that we have, and I was like, guys, send me the footage. Like, what? Like, I want to see it. And so I get sent this footage, and there's this beautiful number number called You Were Meant For Me in the show, where it's iconic. She's like on a beautiful ladder. There's the fan. There's like this lighting that looks like a sunset. It's really gorgeous. And I'm in this like flowy pink dress that's maybe a little too flowy. And there's this gorgeous moment where I do this backbend off the ladder. And I get put on, Mike picks me up on his shoulder, and then I slide down into a dip. But I didn't know that as I'm sliding down his body, my dress is just completely lifting up. And I go into the dip, and then I turn around, and clearly the person that was filming the footage was like, uh-oh, we can see her full butt in the audience, and just like immediately stops filming. But there was definitely an audience there that night
nice.
That got a little bit more for their money.
Nice. Well, hey, listen, if you're trying to boost ticket sales here in Los Angeles, these are the things we have to do.
Keep that dress.
That's right.
It has been altered a little bit, but if you're lucky, you might catch a glimpse.
That is tough. My goodness. Yeah. My goodness. Well, hey, way to get through it, though. And I tell you, we've all had moments like that on stage. If there's one thing I've learned from our embarrassing moments bit, it's that nudity in theater is not at all uncommon, even when it's unintended. It happens all the time. Right. Difficult costume malfunctions. Mr. Star, what you got for us?
Oh, man. I love that story. I feel like I'm partially responsible for that. I'm the one holding on to the dress around her neck, and so I feel bad. That was watching
you
that
video.
You can't
use that as your same embarrassing moment,
though.
No cheating.
I have another one. I think I shared my most embarrassing last time, so I don't have as good of a one this time. But something that is funny, that whenever my parents come and see the show, because they're not theater people, they always ask, the funniest questions. Like, oh, yeah, I saw you mess up that one thing. And you're like, why are we talking
about that? Why? Let's not talk about that.
Like, just so sweet. And one thing, and because it's Singing in the Rain, there is nary a prop that I do not get, that I do not throw or catch at some point.
That's funny. That's true.
Throughout the show. Yeah. And they've learned their lesson, so they haven't asked me any questions about that. But the last show I did, that I was catching something wild, was World Goes Round. And we had a number where we all had money. It was during the song Money. And we were throwing these wads of cash at each other, and I had to catch it in my hat. And I had made it through the entire run of the show, never dropping
right.
it. And my parents come like the last day. Oh. And my mom goes, oh my gosh, you catch that money in your hat every night. Have you ever dropped it? And I went, what did you just say out loud? I'm not going to answer that question. And sure enough, the next performance, just full wipeout, money everywhere, all over the ground. And I'm like, that's I'm going to give her full blame.
Always the way it goes. Don't bring it up.
I was like, you asked me what question? No,
that's so funny.
You did that show with the wonderful Kelly Dorney, yes. who is also working with you in this show. She yes. opens the show.
She oh, does.
Of course,
she
sets the tone for it yeah. right
she
away.
Does. Yeah, Kelly, she does. Kelly, she's hilarious and...
She did a great performance at the AOS benefit, I believe, where she was so funny. But a couple of shows, she's such a great performer. Mm-hmm. We've had her on the show and a great, great, great talent yeah. as well. So
absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. We're big Kelly fans.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Obviously, a great cast in Singing in the Rain, too. And we'd encourage everybody to go online, get your tickets now for Singing in the Rain.
Through May 12th.
That's right.
The La Mirada Theater in La Mirada, California.
Great,
and
great
then
piece.
There is the Verdi Chorus coming up for one night only on May 4th, 7:30 p.m. at the United Methodist Church in Santa Monica. VerdiChorus.org. Get your tickets there. And ladies and gentlemen, we urge you, did you just say this, to get up off the couch, put the remote down, put the kids in the car.
That's right.
And go and support live theater, because if you don't, it won't be around.
And both of these shows are a great way to introduce your kids to the theater. There's some wonderful pieces there. Love is Timeless, obviously, May 4th, and
right.
a nice long run of Singing in the Rain that you can get out to. Get out, go see some theater, and we'd like to thank all of our audience for
thank
listening.
Thank you, guys.
Of course, and
thank
a big thank you to all
much.
Of our guests today. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you all. As always, what a fun show, though.
That's yeah, it was great.
Fun. Always a great pleasure to sit across from you, but where will
thank
I
you.
See you next week?
Right here on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.